13, Thomas. Thank you, Wayne. The Interpretations Committee received a request to clarify the accounting for the acquisition of an additional interest in a joint operation that is not structured through a separate legal vehicle, if the acquisition of the additional interest results in the acquirer obtaining control over the business of the joint operation. In particular, the question raised by the submitter was whether a previously held interest in the assets and liabilities of the joint operation is remeasured to the fair value at the date of obtaining control over the joint operation. The issue arises because paragraphs 41 and 42 of IFRS 3 only give explicit guidance for the acquisition of control over business that is held through an equity interest as opposed to business that is held through rights to assets of the business itself and obligations for the liabilities of the business itself. Joint operations instead may or may not be structured through a separate vehicle. We observed the following three approaches in accounting for the acquisition of control over joint operation that is not structured through a separate legal entity. The first approach, we called it in the paper the IFRS 3 approach or the remeasurement approach, is to apply the principle in paragraphs 41 and 42 of IFRS 3. This is to remeasure the previously held interest in the assets and liabilities of the joint operation and to recognize any resulting gain or loss in the income statement. Second, we called it in the paper the modified IFRS 3 approach, which also has a variation. This approach is not to remeasure the previously held interest in the assets and liabilities of the joint operation, and the variation is whether non-controlling interests and the shares of non-controlling interests in the assets and liabilities of the business is recognized or not. In order to determine whether we should address the issue, we have performed outreach with preparers from the extractive industry sector, national accounting standard setters, and security regulators. Comparing the results from the outreach to preparers from the extractive industry sector and national accounting standard setters and security regulators that we have received up to the point when we completed our work on the staff paper, we struggle to conclude whether the issue of acquisition of control over joint operation is widespread and has or is expected to have a material effect on those affected. While preparers from the extractive industry sector explain that the acquisition of control over a joint operation is a rare case in their industry, two national standard setters confirm significant diversity in practice on the issue. After completing our work on the staff paper, we received two further responses on our outreach request to the national accounting standard setters and security regulators. Both of them explained that acquisition of control over joint operations that are not structured through separate vehicles are not common and not relevant in their experience. And one of the respondents was Shelley on behalf of the SEC, and she informed us about an interesting observation that we asked her to introduce to this meeting.
Certainly. I just noted in our outreach that we have seen actually in OCA a situation where a mining company had control had a group of assets and liabilities that constituted business. It was a working mine where they sold an interest, so they lost control. And so it came to us as to whether or not they should remeasure their retained interest. The issue we saw was actually under Canadian GAAP, reconciled to U.S. GAAP, and then they adopted IFRS shortly thereafter. So they gave us their view on under all three. They did not remeasure under Canadian GAAP. They did remeasure under U.S. GAAP. They did not remeasure under IFRS. So it was a bit of a roller coaster there. Given that their financial statements going forward were going to be under IFRS, and they hadn't done full U.S. GAAP financials. It was the remeasurement was only reflected in a reconciliation. We did not come to a firm conclusion under what we thought the answer would have been under U.S. GAAP. But we did believe that scenario might be rather common in the mining industry, where a company would develop a mine and then seek a partner. And so we thought that could be a relevant issue for the committee.
Continue on that. Was the theory for not remeasuring that essentially they previously had what amounted to a 100% undivided interest, and then they just sold down to a 40% undivided interest, and therefore they still had the same assets and liabilities, and there was no need to remeasure?
Under IFRS?
Yeah.
It's my understanding that they thought that IFRS 11 prohibited remeasuring.
Ah, okay.
Thank you. And I want to add, you know, that the issue of the opposite transaction of the loss of control was raised in the comment letters on the acquisition of an interest in a joint operation as an issue that a lot of respondents asked for guidance on. And considering these comments, I would like to expand the questions in the agenda paper a little bit, and not only to ask the committee members for their observation of the acquisition of control over joint operations, but also the opposite scenario on the loss of control over joint operation. What is your observation? What transaction did you observe are widespread and relevant in practice, and where is there significant diversity in practice, and on which transaction is there not? And considering the amount of questions as in the paper, I would propose to discuss this first and not to discuss all the issues and questions together.
So the question that we're focusing on now is diversity in practice.
Yes, on both issues. Is
on both gain and loss of control. Lawrence?
I would say that this is the first year IFRS 11 is effective. In Europe, there is a delayed effective date. So we don't have sufficient feedback and look back about those arrangements that will qualify as joint operations. In addition, I found the paper confusing. Are you focusing on joint operations that are businesses only? Or are you also looking at joint operations that are not businesses? And sometimes you use joint operations that are business, sometimes you don't use it. So I was confused but the scope of the things you are looking at. Will joint operations per IFRS 11 be businesses? Is this frequent? I don't know. It comes back to a question. Do you have a building with tenants? Is it a business or isn't it a business? And I can imagine the case you mentioned, Shelley, and have control of a building with tenants, and you have a partner, you brought in, and you are going to all take the decisions together. So this makes a joint operation. Is this a business, not a business? And how are you going to account for this? Should you have different accounting, whether you qualify it as a business or not as a business? So I see many issues on which I don't yet have sufficient step back because I have not seen IFRS 11 operating, but I suspect that these are real issues. These are real issues we have to address.
Your advice to us would be wait.
Gain more understanding.
And possibly look through the post-implementation review of IFRS 3, whether it should be implemented there or dealt with there.
Luca?
I have more or less the same concern on Laurence. Yes, it's the first time of application of the new standards, but if I look at my industry sector, in general, it's quite common the vice versa situation, that you start with an entity, you have an interest in fields, then you find a good amount of reserves, you have to spend a lot of money for the development phase, and you try to figure out some partners that would like to share with you the risks and the returns of that activities. In this case, what I have seen in general is that you modify the governance of the entity, and at a certain point you arrive generally to a joint control arrangement that in many cases can be figured out like a joint operation. In this case, in my mind, is that we go back to the discussion that we have during recent meetings regarding the view in which you look at the acquisition of a joint operation that has inside the business. The first one is to understand if your exploration activities or not is a business or an asset. It was very useful, your paper, regarding the definition of business coming out from the outreach. And in the sector, you know better than me, that the idea is that in general you are not in the presence of a business without evidence of an output, so where you are in the production phase or near the production phase. At the same time, you know that I'm really confused and contrary to an application by analogy of IFRS 3 in general for this kind, because in my mind, when you look at the joint operation, without looking at the presence or not of a vehicle, you are speaking about an asset, and there are no rules regarding the passage from an asset to the control of an entity, because this is the first part of your document. Or vice versa, the cases in which you start from an entity, say you arrive to the joint control of an asset. In my mind, when you arrive to a joint control of an asset, you have something that cannot be revaluated. So, because it's not an entity, it's an asset. So, my idea is that we should bring together all these kinds of issues in order to have a more comprehensive package of elements, and then to try to figure out which are the underlying principles that we have to propose to be adopted. The risk that I see is that going to a revaluation model that I don't like and I disagree could create very misleading information to the market and to those that will receive the information from the financial statements. The amount of revaluation could be absolutely big, billions of dollars, and you have an effect in your income statement that it's absolutely not realized, it's something that is not linked with the real business model adopted by the entities in sharing the risks and the future returns of the activities.
So you're suggesting a different way to answer. You'd like to wait really until we've finished the post-issuance review of IFRS 3 and the definition of a business issue.
I mean, I think that the feedback that we analysis that we have done on the acquisition of a joint operation in a business and what we are referring to the board in order to receive our feedback, it's, in my opinion, a relevant point in order to understand if we are going to the application of IFRS 3 or if you are going to another street, another path for thinking. The first element is that we should be very carefully in deciding if the joint operation, or better, IFRS 11 is a problem or representation of a business or an asset, and then starting from this point we could better understand which are the effects. In any case, my personal view, but it's really my personal view, is that the revaluation model that has been adopted in IFRS 3 is something that can be, that has been adopted in order to avoid to have a combined elements with a cost model and a piece of fair value. It could be interesting to ask after some years also to analysts, to preparers, which are the effects of the presentation of relevant amount of revaluation in their financial statements. What I have seen that any preparers that has made a revaluation in the case of a step acquisition or in the case of loss of control has eliminated this effect in their adjusted results, that are those looking at the financial markets. So we should be pay attention to the fact that we are producing an information that after, in order to take the economic decision to buy or not shares, generally you eliminate in the adjusted results.
Okay, let's go this way around the room this time. Andrew?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd agree we need to wait for more evidence from IFRS 11 to proceed on this issue, because the issue must surely be applicable for joint operations over which you later acquire absolute control under IAS 31. And that maybe the details, the parameters change slightly, but fundamentally I'm not sure this is an entirely new issue or consequent on IFRS 11. I think one of the challenges IFRS 11 does give us is this: what is a joint operation? What's the unit of account? The paper talks about an interest in a joint operation, but what you actually account for are the assets that you control plus the assets that you control jointly, and the liabilities you incur and the liabilities you've incurred jointly. So if we're going to go down a remeasurement approach, then we need to be careful about defining what we actually are revaluing. Is it just those assets and liabilities that were joint previously and become absolute, or would it include 100% controlled assets and incurred liabilities as well? But I guess that's a detail for later down the track. I think in practice, putting IFRS 11 and IAS 31 together, we haven't received this question very often, but I probably feel it is relevant in terms of the standards fitting together properly. But in practice, it mainly would arise in the extractive industries where we are dealing with undivided interest, a particular form of arrangements where I'm not sure there is that much diversity in practice. But I think that is put together with the related issue on obtaining control or obtaining an interest in a joint operation, the exposure draft, and dealt with more holistically rather than a bunch of piecemeal changes in the same area.
Philippe, board member privilege.
Maybe I'm jumping to the next question, and I share the remark of Laurence and Luca regarding the timing, the best time to undertake this project. It may be a bit too early. Now, if you were to conclude that, yes, the right time to do it, my question would be, is an interpretation the right way to deal with the matter? I will call on Patricia to confirm my memories, but I don't remember the board having ever discussed the remeasurement of the previously held interest in the context of a joint operation on which we take control. Our discussions, if my memory is correct, were limited to the situation where you have an equity interest, which is an associate, and not a jointly controlled operation, not where you have proportionate consolidation. Maybe we have to go back to the minutes of the discussions, but I don't have any recollection. My next remark would be the rationale for the remeasurement that we applied in IFRS 3 revised is a bit different from the one that would possibly apply here. In a deal where you had previously held equity interest without any form of control, there is, in the board's rationale, an exchange. You transact with a third party, an independent third party, arm's length basis, and you bring your own interest as part of the consideration paid for acquiring control. If you had joint control previously and not only an equity interest, it's a different kind of transaction. In a way, one could say, and the board did not discuss it, but that could be my view, that you are partly transacting with yourself and partly transacting with a third party. It's a different situation. So the rationale for the remeasurement of this consideration given might not be extrapolated from equity interest to the situation where you bring an interest in something jointly controlled. So I'm not sure you could derive any guidance from the board's discussion in interpreting IFRS 3 revised.
You promised to be.
One thing that has bothered me about this discussion is that we aren't recognizing the fact that joint control is different than control. So, following along Philippe's logic, for example, might suggest that where you have joint control and you acquire the rest of the entity, you would account for it as the acquisition of a non-controlling interest. But that's saying that joint control is the same as control, and it's not. The board acknowledged that it was not the same as control. So that's one thing that you sort of need to think about when you try to apply three. But I agree with Luca that I think fundamentally it all comes down to whether what's being acquired is a business or an asset. And if you're not acquiring a business, then three doesn't apply.
Maybe I can clarify and also respond to Laurence's question. The work in the paper was solely focused on businesses, not on other type of as a group of assets and liabilities, because the issue was about should we apply the same approach as in paragraphs 41 and 42 of IFRS 3, and this is only solely applies if what you have acquired or obtained control over is a business, and therefore the whole work was focused on that. We are not in the paper proposing to apply this remeasurement approach to anything else than obtaining control over what's a business.
One more, Philippe.
I'm going to be very quick, and I don't want to have a public discussion or argument with Patricia at this stage.
But you will anyway.
just to say that, yes, joint control is different from control, but joint control is also very different from just influence. So it's something else. And what are the implications when you transact with someone together with you have joint control is something we have not discussed much. So to say, don't do the same as with control, yes, but also don't do the same as with influence, yes, also, maybe so. I don't know where we are on this.
Tony?
I guess my sense is that there, and this discussion has probably illustrated it, that there is an issue here that needs to be addressed. I know that IFRS 11 is new, and in some parts of Europe it won't have been applied yet, but it seems to me that there is an issue here that needs to be addressed. But I think this conversation and the conversation we had at the last meeting demonstrates there are a whole range of measurement issues around IFRS 11. And I think there is a risk, if we pick them up piecemeal, that we might attempt to solve one question and we will create diversity here. So, for example, in using this as an example, if we take, I think it's question one and don't take question two, we may remove diversity in practice on what do you do with remeasurement. We will create diversity in practice around what you do with the non-controlling interest. And I guess my preference, rather than picking off these issues singly, would be to have a holistic look at the measurement issues that IFRS 11 creates around joint operations, because we've all seen a whole series of them that go beyond this. And I just think there's a real risk with taking this piecemeal that we'll create as much diversity as we solve, and that maybe it's time for a step back and think, well, what's the broader picture around measurement issues in IFRS 11?
Reinhardt?
I was going to say the same as Tony. What we, in the Canadian economy, we do have a number of extractive industries. We rarely see companies going from joint control to control. But along the lines of what Shelley was saying, we do see instances where companies go from control to joint control, or from joint control to significant influence. That's the latter one being lesser. Having said that, I do agree with Tony that it seems to me to be better to look at the issues together, because my own view is that joint control is different, I think as Philippe was saying, from control and significant influence. So perhaps there's some different measurement bases that you should look to.
John?
First of all, in terms of whether it's common, I mean, these sorts of transactions aren't common, although we have seen an increasing number of them probably in the last 18 months as various different companies in the extractives have run out of funds and actually look to sell what were previously joint operations, look to sell their piece to someone else who's taken control. So we have seen a number of these transactions. I think I agree with the comment that there's a whole raft of issues here. I mean, it seems to me to do this and not do NCI would not be the appropriate way to go. To do this and not do loss of control would not be the appropriate way to go. So you start adding and expanding the scope of this. And I know that in the comment letters, that submissions we received back on the exposure draft, on the contributions of assets to a joint venture or an associate, a lot of commentators said, what about joint operations when you lose control of a business that's contributed to a joint operation? They raised the question about including that. So it seems to me that there's a whole lot of connected pieces here which don't really lend themselves very well to being done in small pieces. So I think I would agree with that sentiment. I am a bit concerned with the view, though, that there's already diversity acknowledged in your paper, because you're saying if you have a joint operation that's held through an equity interest, then you are within the scope of IFRS 3. And IFRS 11, of course, works on the basis of the substance of the arrangement and the relationship of the venture with the assets and liabilities. But if that's held in a legal entity, obviously it's per your paper, that's already concluded to be within the scope of IFRS 3. But if it's not held in a legal entity, it's outside or unclear whether it is within scope. So it seems to me there's an urgent need to do something around all of these issues. But whether the best way to do it is in small pieces, I'm not convinced.
Scott, and then I'm going to bring forward something.
I hate proportionate consolidation because it does this. But to me, this is really a question that some of Philippe's comments, I think, illustrate. Do we consider the important thing to be a change in the level of control? In which case, when you go from joint control to control, you'd remeasure. When you go from control to joint control, you remeasure. Or do we consider the important thing to be you have, for accounting purposes, sold/derecognized an asset? And in that case, only if we derecognize something would we remeasure and recognize a gain or loss, because it's the selling aspect that generates the gain or loss. In that case, you would not remeasure if you go from joint control to control, nor would you remeasure if you go from control to joint control, because the assets you still have on the books haven't changed. So, I mean, I think that is the question we need to answer this issue. I don't think that the literature gives me a hint as to what that answer is supposed to be, or maybe it gives me hints in both directions. I don't know. It doesn't seem to do it for me. I'm not sure if this is something that would normally be an interpretation, because I don't know whether we can actually resolve this, under the principles in the standards. But then again, with our sort of expanded remit, if the board wants us to tackle this issue, I think we can. I think we can essentially pick which notion we want to go to. Normally, I would go with you've got to derecognize something to trigger the remeasurement, except the problem with that here is that when I have 40% of an asset that I bought years ago and I buy the other 60% to get up to control, if I don't remeasure, I have the same asset on my books with two bases, which I hate. And if there's anything that's going to push me one way or the other, it's that I think one of the great benefits of the recent revisions to the business combination standards is that they did away with that. And I would hate to bring it back, or maybe it's still there with joint operations now. I can't quite tell how often this happens. But, you know, if there's anything that pushes me one way or the other, it's that having the same asset on the books, a percentage at one basis and a percentage at another basis, just seems to me inherently silly. So I would try to avoid that.
Okay. Laurence and Luca both lit up in response to Scott, so I'm going to ask them to come in before I do. Laurence?
Scott's comments are right ones, and I think it is going to highlight again the issue of the unit of account. Because indeed, it's what is your unit of account? Is it the whole asset? Or is it part of the asset? Can you componentize the asset? In which case, if effectively you have a change in control, say from junk control from an asset going to control of an asset, I can see it as a significant event that would trigger remeasurement, full remeasurement, whether we are in a business or not in a business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't think whether it's a business makes a difference.
Yeah, and so this is why I think it is really important to look at the two cases, particularly for joint operation. Whereas if you accept that an asset is a bunch of rights and that you already possess 50% of those rights and you acquire the additional 50%, then what is being said is, I think, that paragraph 38 of IFRS 3, you already have your asset, you keep your asset, your 50%, and this, you already had control over this, so there is no changes. You are just acquiring an additional 50%. So this does not trigger the remeasurement of the previously held 50%. And so this is why I think it is going to be a tough issue again to solve. But as Tony said, it's all linked to IFRS 11 and all linked to understanding what is a joint operation.
Luca?
Come back to the comments made by Scott. I agree that to have in the balance sheets and items and assets with two different criteria that are the cost and the fair value can create a problem. But as I said before, we have to pay attention to the fact that the revaluation effects are recognized in the income statement, and nowadays in the majority of cases that I have seen are eliminated by those that they use the financial statements in order to take the decision regarding the economic value of the entity. So we have to take account into account the fact that we have an issue for recognition according accounting criteria, but also that we have to produce information that are useful for those that they use our financial statement. The second aspect is that sometimes the real life could be even worse than the theoretical approach. Or what I have seen in general in our industry is that you start with a joint operation agreement with other partners in order to share the risks of a business in an oil and gas. Your interest is inside an entity. You create a constituted entity that has the interest, and then you find someone to share the shares of the entity. This is one common situation that you have. So when we are looking at the revaluation, we have to think about that at the end of the story, you could find to have the control of the entity, but at the same time, the entity will have only a piece of the entire business, because it has an interest that is a part of a joint operation agreement, not as a unique control over the total business. So in this case, in my opinion, the revaluation model, it seems to me, really something forward, because I'm reevaluating in the substance something that is a joint control, because I have only pieces of my activities there, not all the business. So I totally agree with what we have said before. We have to collect all the issues in one only project or analysis in order to be sure that fixing one part will not create a problem on the other part of the story.
If I'm sensitive, okay, let me see what I can do here. I'm very sensitive to the comment that there are a bunch, a basket, a slew, some collection bigger than a red box of issues. And that we need to collect those if they have not been previously collected leads me to a question. Michael, do we have an exercise underway to collect issues around IFRS 11?
We do indeed. So this is the issue, where we've done a little bit of outreach in response to some of the submissions we've had on IFRS 11 to understand what other issues there might be that we should perhaps be looking at holistically, to then identify what we should bring to this committee versus perhaps what should be referred to the board.
That would suggest then that any further discussion of this paper is previous, and that we're not really answering the question about whether there's diversity, but whether or not we ought to think more carefully about the total scope.
Indeed, and I think, you know, what has certainly struck me from the discussion here today is, whereas our focus and certainly our impetus initially on this paper was the application of IFRS 3 because we were obtaining control, I think what you've demonstrated is the interaction with the IFRS 11 and the importance of the IFRS 11 aspects of this particular issue.
What I would propose then, well, much as I hate the use of the word holistic, not sure what it means, that we take a holistic approach, as in gather the whole, and let's see what we can do about completing that exercise of IFRS 11 stuff so that we don't create unintended consequences. I see heads nodding yes. Any objections to that? None appearing. That's what we'll do. Send the staff off to do more work. Always a popular decision with everybody but the staff. Okay. I think that brings us to the conclusion of today's business. Do we still want to go with a 9 o'clock start tomorrow morning? Okay. Start early, finish early. Because we have just the two Denise issues and the open administrators. Okay. That's plenty to fill a morning. Pardon me? I was going to just do that tomorrow as scheduled. Motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn is always in order. We are adjourned until tomorrow.